Hey y'all, it's Amelia Rose and welcome to C'est La Me. I hope you're having a really good first Wednesday of 2024. I am very excited about this year and welcome to the first Life Edit episode ever. I am so excited. I just can't wait to see how this project unfolds and just how y'all enjoy it and if it helps you. I'm just very, very, very excited about this project. Okay, so this first episode, I thought it would be good to dive into work and everything. I'm not sure how many people are back to work. I've been back to work for a little bit, just kind of between Christmas and New Year's. And then I think yesterday was my first day back after New Year's. So I'm hoping everyone's either going back to work or thinking about going back to work so that this episode kind of resonates with you. And I hope it's not ruining any sort of break that you're having. But I'm just so excited. It's always a really good idea to take a look at your career in the beginning of the year to see whether you want to move up in your current role or take on a second job, move to a new position or a new company, all of that. So we will be focusing on work, career, and finances in this episode. So before we start, I wanted to give you my background as far as my career. I am 24. I am a writer at a magazine. I've worked at my current job, which is also my first job at postgrad, for almost 2 years now. I will hit 2 years in May. I've been with the company for 2 years, but like that counts my internship. So yeah, it's my first role and I have not been in the workforce for a long time, but I have learned some things that hopefully if people are younger than me or just things that people might not know. Before we get completely started, I do want to say I have morning voice. It's a Saturday morning as I'm recording this and I feel a little bit like I don't feel bad, but I feel my voice sounds a little like gravelly. So I do apologize for that. If you find it annoying, this is not really how my voice typically sounds, and I'll try to kind of speak up in the higher range of my voice to maybe make it a little more appealing for people. I don't know. But yeah, let's get started because I have a lot to go over. I wrote out a ton of notes for this episode, and I'm just really, really happy to be doing this project. I cannot wait. All right, so let's start with a look at your career. First of all, I think it's really important to ask yourself a couple of questions in the new year and just if you ever want to do a life edit to decide where exactly you are in your career or whatever area you're looking at and to take stock of your job so far. So these questions can be some of the following, and it would be really good if y'all did this along with me and you write this stuff down or you re-listen to the episode to like go through a life edit. But writing things down, I find just helps you get it out of your head more than it would be just to like think over it, because sometimes stuff gets jumbled up and then the moment you put it on paper you're like, oh, okay, I get it. Okay, it's less jumbled. I see it clearly all in one place outside of my head. So some of the questions you're going to want to ask yourself is, one, do I feel fulfilled either creatively, personally, financially, socially, spiritually, or all of the above in my job? Do I feel like I'm making a difference in my current position, either in my company, my community, or in my personal career goals? What are the best and worst parts of my job? Is there growth within my company? If not, do I care? How much time outside of working hours am I spending on work? How much money am I spending on work that may be unreimbursed? Or what money am I spending on work necessities like wardrobe or equipment or anything you need for work that you have to kind of front the costs of? And then what is my overarching career goal, or what are my little career goals? And is this job helping me reach where I want to be? So when you're answering these questions, try to be as unbiased as possible. I cannot stress this enough. Do not let the good or bad week you just had at work overly affect your outlook on the job as a whole, because, you know, sometimes you get in moods and you're like, oh, like this, or you get in moods and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like the best job I've ever had. Don't rely on the emotions you're feeling in the moment. Try to zoom out. It might just be best to do these questions on a weekend or on a Monday morning before heading into work, when you're not being that affected by work or you're the least involved in work, whatever time that is for you. I would not recommend doing it right when you get home from work, unless you can like take the emotions out of work. For me, sometimes I can't. I'm just like, ah, you know, and so I either feel like really good about work or I just feel like I'm still in work sometimes when I get home, which is usually good and fun and whatever, but for the purpose of these questions, you want to be as removed, as emotionally unattached to work as you can be, to be completely like unbiased and just whatever. So based on your answers to these questions, you should be able to figure out how you're feeling about your career in the moment and just kind of like how it's going to propel the rest of your life. Another key way to figure out your current attitude about your job is to create a pros and cons list and to take your time. Like, this is not something you can do in 15 minutes, I don't think, unless you just 100% know and you're just going to write stuff down for the sake of it. Just be like, this might even take a couple of days, and that's totally fine. A life edit is not supposed to be quick. It is supposed to be really in depth, and it's going to take a while, and nothing worth doing is going to be like instantaneous. So that's important to remember, because I really want to like check things off my list, and that can just be something that I struggle with. If things take too long, I'm like, oh, you know. But anything that I've done in life has been worth the time it took to do it. Okay, make sure you list everything you've been thinking of about your career, the good, the bad, the ugly, anything you've been thinking about, anything that bothers you, or anything that lights you up. Just a life edit is playing the long game. Things will probably not change overnight. Again, try to be as factual as possible. Now, a disclaimer, once I've warned you to be like unemotional, whatever. When I say unbiased and factual, I really don't mean to be unemotional. Your emotions or the way your job makes you feel is really important as well, and it's worth considering. So don't let any extremes cloud your assessment of your job. For example, if I were taking stock of my job right now and the last couple of months cloud my assessment of the whole year, I would surmise that we are always insanely busy, we're working on multiple projects simultaneously all the time, having tons of photo shoots, and generally just really, really busy. Because right now, I am in a really busy season at work. That's just the way it always happens around November, December, January. But that's not all the time. There are months where I have more downtime and I can work ahead. Other months, like this one, I'm turning out a ton of work and I rarely have that downtime. So I want to be realistic with how I evaluate my job as a whole. Because when you're in a really busy season or you're in a really relaxed season, you can kind of forget about the other part of your job. And so you want to be able to take stock of all that as a whole. All right, some things that you can write down on your list are your salary, your job title, responsibilities, promotions or bonuses you've received, day-to-day task, work-life balance, office culture, future plans, how your job supports or doesn't support your future plans, projects you've taken on or not directly related to your role, the opportunity for growth in your position or company, work connections you've gotten through your position, life opportunities you've gained from work, community involvement that you might have because of your job, etc. So those are a few things that I write down that I was like, okay, these are things that you could list, but feel free to be as wide-reaching, as far-reaching as you possibly want to. It's good to be in depth. Okay, so you have your list and you've decided your current position on your career, and I do want you to take as much as you possibly can a position on your career, because that just makes action a little bit easier. And your position can be, I'm fine where I am and I'm happy in my role and like I'm good, and that's totally fine. But for people who have other positions where it requires movement or decisions or whatever, let's dive into a couple of positions and how you can move forward. Okay, so for people who want to level up or move up in their current jobs, you've made a pros and cons list and decided you enjoy your job and you want to get better in it or advance at your company. So how do you do that? All right, here are a couple of my tips. Keep a brag list. I do this, it's on my desktop. It is a list of accomplishments. Like anytime you hit a big work goal, you took on more responsibility, or you went out of your way to finish a task. And it can be good to show employers if you're trying to illustrate why you should get a raise or a title change or a promotion or anything. But I feel like it can also be good for you to look at as a measure of how you're performing in your role. It's really nice for me personally just to kind of see, okay, like I did this or I did that. And I don't know if any of y'all have sometimes like imposter syndrome or self-doubt in your role, and you know you're doing a good job, but you just can't like get over that feeling of like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? It's so nice to be able to pull up the brag list and be like, hey, I actually am doing a good job. And my advice, if you can, is to try to include as many numbers and data points in there as you can, because first of all, I feel like a lot of employers just really care about numbers and they care about percentages and all of that. But also, it's kind of fun for you to say, oh, like I did this. Like I have yearly things that I do. Like I always handle our bridal section for the magazine every like summer, or not summer, what am I even talking about? Spring and fall. And it's kind of nice to be like, oh, that bridal section outperformed last year's bridal section by this much or whatever. I'm always just trying to get better, and it can kind of help my ambition knowing that there are those numbers out there. And so it's fun for me personally. But also I know employers can be very data driven. So the more you can kind of set it as like in a data format is very helpful. All right, the next thing, if you are actively trying to get promoted or something, is to research salaries. So get a good idea of what you may be able to ask for. There are a lot of resources out there, and I will kind of recap those at the very end of this episode. Resources on career and also finances once we get into that. But you want to do your research so that you kind of know, like, what's a good number to be able to ask for. And so I just feel like that is going to help you more than just going in blind and be like, I want this number with no data to back it up. And, you know, that's another thing. If you can kind of explain why you got to this number, how you got to this number, or whatever, if they need more explanation, you can. And it's not just like, oh, I just thought of it and thought it sounded good, you know? So that's also a good thing to do. All right, the next tip is to talk to your boss and or immediate manager whenever you feel is a good time for you to approach the subject. Let's face it, you're not going to get any sort of bump or whatever unless you talk to your boss or your manager. You can do all the research and prepare yourself and all of that, but unless you broach the subject, it might not happen. And I feel like there's power in being your own advocate and just kind of being like, okay, like I've been thinking about this, and then presenting the data to back it up. All right, the next tip is to research other people's career stories. I find this very, very helpful. I feel like I always love real world examples of people who have done something that I'm trying to do. And so I feel like it's just really key to be able to look at what have other people been able to do and all that, and all the more power if it is someone from your own company. That's even more helpful. Something else that can be really helpful is to look at your company's policy on promotion. So some companies have a very straightforward timeline set out, while others are less set in stone, and you kind of have to like guess or whatever about when's a good time to get promoted, or you know what's possible. It's a good idea to check if your company has a promotion schedule or even a scheduled one-on-one meeting where you could bring up your desire to advance and all of that. It's just good to do your research. You'd hate to go and say, oh, like I was thinking about this, and they're like, well, you're not due for that for like, you know, a couple of months or something. So just double check and make sure that they don't have some policy that you're not aware of, just to make sure that you are doing things at the appropriate time. All right, and then the last tip is to keep track of your work. Any projects you've excelled in, write them down in your brag list, and just make sure you're still doing a good job. You know, that can be, people sometimes approach the subject like, I deserve this and I'm just gonna rest on my laurels and I just feel like all good about myself. But like if your work dips any, like that can be really counterproductive, I guess. So just make sure, like, keep on it, jam on it, make sure you're still doing a good job, because that's only going to reinforce your reasonings for wanting a promotion or more responsibility or a raise or whatever you're asking for if you've continuously done a good job, versus if you have kind of let things slip and then people are kind of like, yeah, you haven't really been doing that great. Because unfortunately, people don't remember like the whole span of time, they just remember like a couple of months, a couple of weeks, you know, which can be pressure, but also just know that this is something you're going to want. So like really make sure that your work is top notch. Okay, so that is for people looking to advance in their current careers. Now, maybe you did your pros and cons list and you want to switch jobs. So maybe you need something else in your career that you're not getting at your current job, or you're not getting what you need from your industry as a whole. Here are some tips to help you out. First of all, update your resume. Make sure to list any current associations you're a part of, any jobs or titles you've had recently, any awards or recognitions you've won, anything like that, any promotions. Make sure everything's up to date so that you paint as accurate a picture as possible and they can kind of see your growth in your career. Another tip is to turn on alerts on LinkedIn or other job sites. You can turn on alerts by company or by industry, or you can set it by location for a certain industry. All of that, it's really helpful. I did this when I was looking for internships because I was just like, okay, I need an internship in my bio. And so you never know what gets posted on LinkedIn. Not everything gets posted on LinkedIn. My current job, I just applied directly on their site. So that's always a good idea to look directly on company sites too. But in the meantime, you should have alerts on LinkedIn or other job sites turned on, and you might even want to kind of like go through your connections if it's been a while and just kind of see who works in an industry I might be interested in or whatever, and just make sure that you have those connections that you need. You can always create new connections. Don't be afraid to utilize your connections. They might not be able to do anything for you, but they also might be able to, and you just never know. Also, if you start to feel like weird about it or like, oh my gosh, I'm approaching them out of the blue, they're on a job site. It's natural for people to be interested in people's careers or to just kind of be like, hey, like, what do you do in your company? Or like, do you have any openings or whatever? I don't feel like it's like the unsolicited DM, like of like Instagram or something. So don't feel weird about DMing people or private messaging and just being like, hey, really interested. I'm looking for something new. Just, you know, whatever. I don't think it's weird at all. All right, next tip, take inventory of what you can realistically accommodate. This goes for salary, job responsibilities, location, etc. Figure out what you want before committing to anything, because you can always just adjust your expectations if you need to. But if you say yes to an opportunity and you haven't really considered, ooh, that salary is a little too low, or in order to go to this city, I'm going to need to make this amount of money. And there are easy ways to figure that out. So stay tuned for my resources at the end of the episode. But just make sure that you know what you can work with, so that if there are any opportunities that pass your way that you're like, ugh, like, I'm not sure, you will be sure once you know what you can do. And then the fourth thing, again, kind of like with the LinkedIn thing, but even better in person, is to network. Just network. Like, I go to different events, and I'm not looking to change careers, but I go to different events, and I go to like professional events or meetings or whatever, just because I want to get to know people around in my area. And, you know, if one day I need to like change jobs, or, you know, I meet somebody and we move or something, it's always nice to have those in your arsenal. I do utilize some of the connections in my job because we put together, you know, we always need to know people for different stories. But especially if you're looking for jobs, like to change jobs, it's always nice to meet people that you can then kind of call up and say, hey, I'm looking for this. If you have anything, let me know. And again, people get really kind of weirded out by like utilizing their connections. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that at all. I mean, your connections for a reason, and especially in business, people expect you to be contacting them if you need something. I mean, that's what they're there for. You would contact a friend if you needed something. Why shouldn't you contact your business contact? I don't know. Okay, so I really hope that helped you get wherever you want to go in your job. Just kind of feel more motivated to like, okay, I'm going to do this and that, and I feel a little more prepared to take those steps. Now, those are the two positions, either being happy in your job and wanting to move up, or wanting to switch jobs. Those are just the two most common positions, and they're opposite ends of the spectrum. So those are just the two that I'm going to cover. But if you're happy in your job and you just want to do better at it, there's still some resources at the end I'm going to tell you about. And good for you. That's exciting. So yeah, that wraps up the career portion of this episode. So now let's move on to finances. So hopefully you've already taken a quick inventory of your finances when you put together your pros and cons list for your career, because finances definitely play a role in that. But how do you change your relationship with money for the better, no matter where you are or where you're headed or what your goals are? So first of all, speaking of goals, the first step in this financial life edit portion is to take stock of your financial goals. These may change from year to year. Take your goals for the next 5 years into consideration to start with. Write them down so that they're out of your head and consider where you might be going, what you might be doing, what your life might look like in 5 years. Now, it can be difficult to know what's going to happen in the next 5 years. I totally get it. I'd like to be in a relationship or married in the next 5 years, but the approach that I take as a single person right now is going off of what my life looks like currently and how I can manage my own money in that time. For me, within 5 years, I would like to be debt-free and have X amount of money saved. I have a number in my mind, but I'm not going to share it because I don't want that to be like a comparison thing for people. I know I'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, if I heard on a podcast, oh, this girl my age wants this amount of money saved and all of that. So, but I know the number in my head. I've written it down and I know that in the next 5 years, I want to have that amount saved. And if I get married and stuff in the next 5 years, great. I don't know, like you can always adjust, but for me, I wouldn't count on things. Like I'm single right now. I might be married in the next 5 years. That might be great, but I can't really go off of that because I'm not even in a relationship. Okay, after you write down those bigger goals, it'll take some time, take your time and be thorough with it. Break it down into just the next year. So 2024, write down any goals you have for this upcoming year. For me, a goal I have this year is to save money for an international trip, hopefully next year. So add that to your list and see how your goals can operate together and if any of your goals might need to be adjusted. For me, I can save some money for the trip, put some in savings, and continue to make payments on various debts so that I make progress towards all three goals simultaneously. Something super key is to divide up your money goals into monthly payment amounts. So you can do this by dividing them by the amount of months you'll have before you want to accomplish the goal. So that way you can accurately see what you'll realistically expect to pay each month per goal. This is so helpful because you always need to know like hard numbers because you can be all like pie in the sky and just be like really idealistic about your goals. But if you don't know what it actually looks like, you're less likely to achieve them. So just add up the individual payments for your monthly chunk. So divide everything by the amount of months you have until you want to reach that goal, and then add all of those totals together for your monthly payment. It's so important to look at numbers up front because you may think you have a realistic goal and then you add it up and you're like, oh gosh, I might need to extend this goal. I'm not sure. So just make sure to do the math. I hate it. I hate math. It's not easy, but if you want to improve your life, you gotta kind of do the hard things. But just do the math and make sure that it's something that you can actually achieve. And if not, don't stress about it. It just means that your goals are either going to take a little bit longer or you may have to like take down the number or adjust that way, but at least you know what it looks like. And that is so important. Another key thing to have in 2024, and I'm going to make all of you do it. Not really, I can't make you do it, but something super important is to have a budget. This is such a good way to see what money you have, where it's going, and what you're prioritizing financially. It can be so humbling and tricky at times. I can admit that, but it is so, so worth it. I will admit to y'all that I have fallen off the budgeting train a little bit since like September, which is kind of not good because that's like 4 months. I mean, I've been decent, but I feel like as the year's gone on since September, it's just been worse and worse and worse. So 2024, I'm coming in hot with a budget that I will stick to. I was so good beforehand or before that. And I don't know what happened in September, but I just was like, I can't do this anymore. But plug in your monthly expenses, any money you'll be saving, any special occasion things, and voila, you have a budget. Cannot stress how important this is. It changed my life in college because I was able to buy like a car and stuff. And if I didn't budget, I don't think I would have been able to do that. Please start keeping a budget if you haven't already. Honestly, it creates accountability, peace of mind. Like I said, if you want to improve your life, some things you're going to have to do are not going to be fun. This is not like necessarily a fun process, but it's kind of like a pay now or pay later. It is so fun to be able to achieve your goals. And sometimes the steps to do that are not so exciting, but it's okay. But actually, creating peace of mind is such a good budget, like, quality. You're not stressed under the surface wondering where all your money is going. You know because you put it there. All right, now say you take stock of your finances and you just don't feel like you have enough money to reach your goals. I get it, don't stress. It's just another indicator that you're going to need more money. Now, I know that money and finances are super emotional and everything, but for me, it really helps if I can separate my emotions from that process and by just looking at everything as data points. Like, okay, is this disappointing? Yes. But do we have to be disappointed about it? No, just look at it as an indicator of where you need to go and what decisions you need to make. So if you don't have enough money, this might entail you getting a second job, asking for a raise, coming back in certain areas, changing your job, etc. Or maybe you need to extend your goals a little bit. You know, instead of having this goal in 5 years, maybe you can extend it to 7 or 8. And that's fine if you prioritize, you know, your free time or something like that. It's all about balance, about what you ultimately want. And if you don't need something in 5 years and you can comfortably get it in 7, that's totally fine if you want to push it back. It's fine. Whatever it is, taking inventory of your finances gives you a roadmap to kind of figuring out what steps you need to take to accommodate or achieve your goals. Okay, so I hope that these tips helped you feel more positive and more like you have more direction about your career and your finances and all of that. It's just so good at the beginning of the year to take stock of all of that. It's just good to do a life edit. I'm so excited about these episodes. I cannot be more thrilled, but let me get to the resources that I've been hawking throughout this whole episode. So here's some career and financial related resources that I love. The first one is Career Contessa. I love this site. I listened to a podcast with her. I forget who it was with. It was either with Victoria Garrett Brown on The Real Pod or someone on The Blonde Files by Ariel Laurie. I don't know. It was a Dear Media podcast. I don't remember which podcast she was on, but the founder of Career Contessa has a great story, and I kind of went to her site and was looking around, and it's really, really fun. You can sign up for email alerts. They have job boards. They have financial stories and all of that. It's super appropriate for anybody who wants to level up in their career or someone who's looking to move jobs because they have different advice. Like, they currently have an article up about like 80 ways to end an email professionally or something, and that's really fun. They also have education courses, they have coaching, they have a job board, they have downloads, they have webinars, articles, they have a podcast, which is very exciting. And it's just really invaluable advice, especially aimed towards women. And I just think it's so, like, such a valuable resource. I love this site. It's just really exciting. So go check it out because it's just such a great resource. All right, the next resource I love is The Every Girl. So they are a lifestyle kind of site. I've talked about them forever on the podcast, but they're kind of a lifestyle site, but they definitely have a career aspect to them. They actually have a career section on their site, so I love going on there and just kind of like scrolling career articles and just soaking in their advice. And they also have some fun things that are like desk essentials that I have on, like, for work, or things like time batching that makes my workday easier or something. And so it's all kind of self-improvement-ish focus, which I absolutely love. That's kind of the whole point of this life edit project. And so I just really like that site. So go ahead and go look at them as well. Another thing that I love, this time it's finance related, is Every Dollar. It is Dave Ramsey's budgeting app. I love it, regardless of whether you agree with Dave Ramsey and his financial approach. It is such a good app. It is zero-based budgeting, I think. Zero-based? Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Basically, you assign all your money a spot so that the total equals zero. You have, like, no money left to work with. And sometimes I'm better at that, sometimes I'm not. But it's nice because you can kind of customize it month to month. And you, if you ended up spending more money on a certain budget item, you can always kind of increase that and take from somewhere else to kind of balance it out. It's just a really good app. I've been using it for years and I need to be better at like whipping it out and plugging things in, but it's really, really nice and I love it. And if you get the premium version, I don't have that one, but you have more tools on there. So if you really struggle with budgeting, maybe the premium version is worth it because I think it's supposed to make it easier. But regardless, it is a really good app. All right, and then the next thing I'm recommending is the Refinery29 Salary Stories. Now, this is a thing on LinkedIn, and I don't know if it's anywhere else. I just know it from LinkedIn. But Refinery29 does these salary stories. It's like a profile of like a woman and her job title and her salary and her biggest raise and her biggest drop and like career advice that she wished she would have had or something or the best career advice she's ever had. And it's just really nice. I love getting an inside look at real people's salary stories. So that's basically what that is. And it's very fun to look at. Regardless of if you had no career aspirations at all, it would be fun to look at. So I just really like it. And it's just nice to get a glimpse into people's lives and how their career has progressed. I just really enjoy that. All right, and then the last thing that I am going to recommend is a cost of living comparison calculator. This is specifically for people who are looking to change jobs and maybe change cities with their jobs. I am on the one right now. I've just been looking at it for fun, honestly. I'm on bankrate.com. And so they have this cost of living comparison calculator, and you can plug in the city you're moving from to the city you're moving to, then you plug in your current income, and it'll say to maintain the current standard of living in X city, you'll need to earn this amount of money. It says the cost of living is this percent lower or higher in whatever city you are interested in moving to. So helpful, because that will give you a decent number. Okay, if I want to just maintain my state of life in the city, I need to be making this amount of money. And I just feel like that's invaluable. I feel like people didn't have that at one point. And like, it just makes everything so much easier. It kind of blows my mind. I just really enjoy seeing what my salary looks like in different cities just because. And it's nice because I typed in New York at some point and I was like, New York, Manhattan, New York, Brooklyn, New York, the Bronx, like whatever. And so it pulled up all of these different locations in New York, which I felt like was very, very helpful. So it's really in depth and detailed. So I would highly recommend that. Okay, this is the end of the Life Edit episode. I am so excited about this. I hope that this made you feel positive. I hope that it was a good start to your career of 2024 and your finances. And yeah, join me on the next episode as I talk about relationships and community. I am so excited. So I will see you next Wednesday. Bye.